Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the morning show. Tom Kelly filling in for Joe DeCamera once again today. Ree Hughes is here. John Ritchie is here. Richie Rich.
Hello there, Tom.
Hello, John.
You are looking good.
Thanks,
that is
man.
A sweet shirt. The Kelly Green.
My Eagles WIP polo.
Love that thing. It is extremely difficult to overcook mushrooms. Did you know this? I'm getting a little handier.
Why is it extremely difficult?
I'm getting a little handier in the kitchen as of late.
Uh-huh.
I've been working on it, getting good at cooking, trying. The cell walls of mushrooms themselves are made of a substance called chitin, C-H-I-T-I-N, that's incredibly heat stable. Unlike pectin, which is normally in vegetables, or a lot of times the proteins in meats. So this means that because of this pectin, they can withstand long, long cooking times, higher heats, without getting mushy or tough.
I know this. I make one of Clark's favorite things that I make is mushroom soup. He actually asked it, and I cook a lot of it. And you're right. They've never gotten burned.
That's amazing.
There you go.
It's pretty wild.
I can't say I've ever cooked mushrooms in my life. I mean, I'm not I'm not a big cook to begin with, and I'm not a big mushroom guy, so it's not a combination that really goes
you're
together.
A finicky eater.
I'm not a finicky eater. I just don't cook much food.
You and DeCamera, who has eaten six things total, six different things in his life.
Well, that's insane.
It just keeps cycling those same things. It's like spaghetti, cheese steak.
Chicken parm.
Spaghetti, chicken parm, yeah.
Back to the diet issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is that what you do? Are you finicky like him?
I'm not finicky. I mean, I'll eat whatever. I'm not very picky when it comes to eating. I'm just not very handy in the kitchen. So, yeah. So, I can't tell you. Well, that's something that you can work on. Well, maybe I'll have to.
I'm trying to work on that, too.
Maybe I'll have to do that because how about I come over and we have a cooking class?
That's cool,
cooking
man.
Cooking with John.
Hey.
You should start doing YouTube videos here for the station where you're cooking mushrooms and stuff.
Dude, I like cooking a lot.
I'm not kidding about this, man.
When I first retired from playing football, I moved back to Central Pennsylvania, where I'm from, and I took an interest inventory test with my former soccer coach, who had become a clinical psychologist, like did help people, figure out what they're gonna do when they were out of jobs, stuff like that. So he had the test available. I took the test. My interest inventory suggested I should be a cop or I should be a chef.
Well, you should go into cooking and take this more seriously. And this could be a second endeavor for
you. I love it.
I think, and that will tie in.
You should
nicely.
Come with me, man.
Maybe.
We'll do cooking shows if you want, like you suggested. You should try to learn with me, man.
Well, we'll get to our side topic in a little bit, but it would tie nicely into that. So we'll get into in a little bit here. I'm not afraid of the kitchen, but we have a lot of stuff to get into throughout the course of the day. Get to our side topic coming up in a little bit here. A lot of stuff to get to throughout the course of the show.
You seem fearful.
But you want to know what I spent my day doing yesterday, John, after we got off the air?
Something... the next show?
Not talking. I spent literally my entire afternoon reading. And what I was reading is this piece on ESPN by...
Dotun Akintoye.
Dotun Akintoye, ESPN writer, wrote this long story on Joel Embiid. And... It's really interesting. I'll say that. And if you want to get into the start show, 215-592-9494. It's interesting, but it's extremely long, so you need some time to get through it. And we'll get to as much as we can throughout the course of the show, because I'm imagining many people probably didn't have the chance to read it in its entirety. We've taken out some of the more important parts, which we'll get to throughout the course of the show today. But my big conclusion from it is that this thing with Joel Embiid in Philadelphia is over. Like, especially here in Philadelphia, it alludes to disagreements they've had about his injury this past year, disagreements they had earlier in his career. There was stuff about Maxey calling him out during the season. And the Embiid era, in my mind, with the Sixers, is over. And I want to note today, when we look back on the Joel Embiid era, who do you think is more at fault for things going the way that they've gone? Is it Joel Embiid or is it the Sixers? And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. And I'll just start with my take here. Is it all Embiid's fault? No. I mean, this piece talked about the handling of him coming out of college. If the reporting can be believed here, it was not well run. It was not well handled for sure. Talks about an intern overseeing Joel Embiid's process to return.
That might be the most insane part of the story.
Yeah, from his foot surgery. And, I mean, under Sam Hinkie, I defended the process, what they did. But if that's true...
Sam Hinkie had an intern, according to this piece, in charge of his rehab.
Right. If that's true, it's egregious. And this is how I view it with Joel Embiid. I think both sides obviously share in the blame here. I think early in his career, it was certainly probably more the Sixers. But I think as things went on, it became more Joel Embiid. And ultimately, I blame Joel Embiid more than I blame the Sixers for the way things have gone and the way things have ended or are going to end, because that was my big takeaway. This thing's over. Whether he's playing here, whether he gets traded, whether he's on the floor or not, it's not going to go well. And I want to know who you fault more. 215-592-9494. And I'll ask you, John, because we look back at Joel's career, and I know you've been kind of a Joel defender. Like, you see the talent. You understand what he could be. But when you look at his career here, how things have gone, do you put the fault more on Joel or do you put it more on the Sixers?
I absolutely place it in the organization's lap. But I do agree with you. He's got a lot of blame, too, especially as things worked so well, as he became the MVP and... we know that it's hard to know how much things changed from the outside looking in, but it seems like he got a little, too big for his britches at times. But that does happen. You see that all the time. The organization, the way that they handled him and Ben Simmons was disastrous. The absolute mayhem that they permitted should never have been allowed from the start. I can't even begin to, I can't even begin to tell you like that. Some discipline, a little bit of discipline goes such a long way, and there was none. And that's I don't remove blame entirely from Joel and Ben Simmons, because you have to have guys who want to dig in, want to improve themselves more than a guy like Ben, who's still afraid to do something in a sport that he plays professionally.
Yeah, I agree. And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494, and I think there are reasonable cases to be made on both sides here. I mean, because the Sixers, we know early in his career especially, the Sixers didn't handle things exactly well. Again, this report about an intern overseeing Embiid's recovery process early on in his career is crazy. But in the end, man, I can't get past my ultimate frustration with Embiid. And did he get better? Sure. And I'm not just talking about on the floor. I'm talking about, in some ways taking care of himself. But I don't think he ever got to where he needed to get to with his health. Like, he was never able to go that extra mile or two that is going to take you to the championship level. It's one thing to be one of the best regular season players in the league, be an MVP candidate. It's another thing.
You think his health is just gone now? His health is never reclaimable
this
point?
We'll get to all the stuff throughout this thing here. It feels to me like the surgery he got last year with some last-ditch attempt. It seems like the Sixers still don't even think he really, needed the surgery in a way. Like, I feel like, I don't know, the fact that this piece came out, I just feel like this thing is headed down a bad path. I don't think he's ever going to be back anywhere near the same level that he was previously. And, I look back at his career, he never got to where he needed to be as a leader. He never was the guy who could, carry a team, not on the floor, but from that emotional standpoint, from that motivational standpoint.
I agree with that part.
And with his health,
I just don't think he ever quite got there. Of this article thus far, it sounds to me like he believes this is the finale for his push in this second half of his career. You know, he's gonna head into this second portion of a healthy version of Embiid, second half of a successful, years of playing NBA great.
But some of this is reading between the lines. Do you really believe that, John? Like, do you really believe that now, after what, a decade, now Joel Embiid's going to get it? Now he's going to turn the corner? Now he's going to do everything right? Because, you know, it still even kind of alludes to it in there where he's not working out the way he needs to be working out. He's not rehabbing these injuries the way he fully needs to be rehabbing these injuries. And I don't know, man. I don't have any faith. I don't have any faith anything's going to be different anymore.
Wow. I mean, that's rough, man. That's pretty dark.
Yeah.
I'm trying to decode what I'm reading as I'm going. And of course, I'm nowhere as far
well,
as
it'll
you
take
are.
You, it'll take you all show.
So maybe.
We've got Vonnie, who's our assistant this morning. Vonnie just started reading this thing. She's timing herself.
Yeah, she's 32 minutes in and she's only halfway.
Yeah.
But Buzz, you said that you did a Word thing?
Yeah, so it's 45. I copied it into a Google Doc. 45 pages long, 13,367 words.
Oh, my God.
So it's long. Here's what I will tell you, like, I have a lot of thoughts, and you know
what was your overall takeaway?
I'm not the biggest Joel Embiid fan. I think I've always made that
clear. Really.
It's shocking. If Joel Embiid had been drafted by another organization, I think his career could have been insane. Because I will say this, and we've always thought this, mishandled from the start. Now he bears a lot of responsibility for as he was getting older. You become a veteran. You got to be mature and handle yourself, but completely. Completely dysfunctional organization. And I think if another team had drafted him, and John, you know this, the biggest part of success with some players in wherever, whatever pro sport, is what organization they go to.
Sure.
I mean,
sure. You some guys just need rails, you know? So it, like in bowling, do they put up the bumpers for
keep you in your
a
lane.
Guide? Yeah.
Yeah.
Some guys need a little bit different type of dealing with.
Look at quarterbacks. I mean, and we talked a lot about Donovan yesterday. Look at the guys selected around him, Tim Couch, Akili Smith. I mean, maybe those guys end up being bad regardless. But, I mean, I can't Donovan was obviously put in a much better position
100%.
Being drafted here by an organization like
by
the
Cleveland,
Eagles.
Cleveland, or where did Akili go? Seattle?
Cincinnati.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Bengals. And like, I don't know, if Donovan gets drafted by either of those teams, Donovan may have flamed out the same way either of those quarterbacks did. I mean, a lot of it does go into fit. And Embiid, in some ways, he's such a fascinating study because in some ways you can look at it and you can look at the injuries early in his career and say, well, he did surpass expectations. I mean, there was a world in which he never plays in the NBA.
Oh, that type of injury with a navicular bone with his height and weight.
Right.
I mean, you're putting all that weight on these tiny little bones in your feet. And they had an intern overseeing,
right?
According to this article, I want to keep mentioning that.
Yeah, and then there's that other element where, say, he gets drafted by an organization like the Heat or like the Celtics Spurs, somebody like that. That this thing ends up even greater. So, want to know today? And if you didn't get a chance to read this entire piece, we will read excerpts from it throughout the course of the show.
I'll be given information in my update, but you know, I only have a minute.
Yeah, it is I mean, it's really long, but it's very interesting. So we'll focus a lot on this today and want to know, when you look at the Joel Embiid era, because my big takeaway is that this thing is done. I don't think there's ever any real coming back from it. Do you put more of it on the Sixers or do you put more of it on Joel Embiid? I think there's plenty of blame to go around, but in the end, I put more of it on Embiid. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. When we get back, we will get to some calls and get started reading a little bit of the Joel Embiid piece. A lot of stuff coming up on the show today. The ESPYs was last night. Shane Gillis, Philadelphia guy, was representing. So we have
Mechanicsburg.
Oh, I knew John was going to correct you on that.
Did you guys go to high school together, by the way?
No.
Okay.
But he was, he's younger than I am. He was a few years later behind me. And wow. He went to Trinity, the local Catholic high school.
Okay, so
but he played football. He played offensive tackle.
He looks like a football player.
He was playing offensive tackle at Trinity High School in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, when I was playing fullback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
How about that?
Here.
How about that? So we'll get into that, some of the things Shane Gillis had to say at the ESPYs last night. And I will, of course, continue my quest this week to sway John and get him behind Joe DeCamera in the battle of DeCamera versus Fritz. So a lot coming up on the show today. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera. This is the Morning Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Baseball.